Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. And reading from verses 34 to 46. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves will answer, "Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Then these will go away into eternal punishment and the righteous into eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We just come before you, God, and we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and our ears to receive your word, God. As we go into your word, as we pray and worship later, Father, may we have an encounter with you, Lord, and we just hear you speak what it is that you want to say this morning. We thank you. We praise you. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. We can go on that later. So, we had a good staff devotional yesterday, and it's actually very timely. And after the devotional piece, Sam was asking, "Do you guys have anything to share?" And I did, but I didn't want to say anything because it was so grievous to share. What actually happened was on Monday night, we had dinner. We had dinner with my in-laws, who actually live in the same building as we do, which is, thank goodness, for grandparents. So we came back to our flat after dinner, and we put Jared to sleep, and he had just gone down, but we put him in his room, and then we just leave, turn off the lights, and then he usually doesn't cry, sometimes maybe a little bit, but he's pretty good. And so I was in my room, I was starting to do homework, and like I had a bunch of stuff to do, and just kind of get everything done before we go to sleep, because there's only a window of a few hours. And so I was getting into it, and I'm like, okay, I could do this. I got to read two chapters in this book, and I got to read another chapter in this book, and you know, maybe respond. And all of a sudden, the doorbell rings. I'm like, what the heck? And then I'm like, because when the doorbell rings and Jared isn't really fully asleep yet, then he'll wake up because he'll hear something. And so he starts crying. I'm like, oh, who's the idiot that rang our doorbell? You know, is it my in-laws? But they would know because they would message, you know, like, oh, we're coming down or to give you something. Or it could be Cora's brother who's visiting. But so Cora goes out and she answers the door, and I'm coming out of the room a little bit. Not a little bit. I'm actually super annoyed. I'm like, because he's crying. Now we got to go in, and like, I can't concentrate and I can't work, and just very agitated. And it's just, it's a salesman. And I forget what he was saying, because by the time I got to the door, Cora's saying, "Oh, actually, I don't know. Why don't you talk to my husband?" I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give him peace of my mind. Because, you know, Hong Kong buildings, most of the time, the guards will just let you in. Sometimes, depending on the building. We recently got this notice, or a few months ago, there's a notice in our lobby saying that the guards will not open the door even for the residents, and you have to enter your own code. I'm like, that's so dumb. They know who you are. So, but basically, I think there's been some complaints about people coming in. And so, I'm like, this is the kind of people the guard is supposed to stop. These salesmen that don't actually belong in the building. And so I'm really agitated. And he's like, oh, you know, I only have, and I forget everything that he said, but I think the gist of it was, I only have two more households to stop at before I can, before I'm off, I'm done for the day. And, you know, I just want to tell you about stuff that he's selling. It's like computer monitor or something. And I could see a welcome voucher in his hand. I'm like, oh, it's actually not a very good time right now. As you can hear, my baby is crying, like, really curt and to the point, like I was trying to ensure that he got it. And he goes, oh, is there a better time to come back? I'm like, no. And so he left, and I left the door open, and I said to Cora in Chinese, right, so he could hear, because echo in the hallways is the sound acoustic you can hear pretty well. So who let this guy in, right? Who does he think he is ringing on doorbell at 8 o'clock? Does he know what time it is? And then I closed the door. And then I went off, did my thing. I'm like, I'm so holy, I'm in seminary, doing God's work. And then Cora comes out of the washroom about like 20 minutes later and goes, I think you were really mean to the man. And then I'm like, yes, I was. And she goes, yeah, I was really mean too, because I didn't want to deal with him. I passed him off to you. But the whole night, it just, right when she said that, I was so convicted. And immediately this passage came up. And she was just, Cora was sharing, was like, yeah, that guy was, you know, what he's got a family to feed too. And we couldn't have just invited him in. I mean, he was sweating and like our AC was on, and you know, just invited him for, you know, even a glass of water. I felt so convicted, and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, God, so sorry. That I went downstairs, you know, I had some Vitasoy, and I tried to find him. I'm like, hey, do you want to come back up? I might not want to buy what you're selling, but you know, at least come up and chill. Maybe I couldn't find him, which compounded the guilt that I had. So I'm still kind of repenting through this. And then yesterday, Pastor Sam was just giving a devotional about, you know, how often do we let function come in front of either family or relationships, or the true point of ministry is not just to get things done. And, you know, my thing on Monday night was just to get things done. You know, get Jerry to sleep, then I can go do my own thing. You don't get Jerry to sleep, then I'm distracted because I got to take care of him. I got to make sure he goes to sleep. I might have to go in his room and pat him, and then I can go do my own thing. But in reality, when I think about it, getting Jerry to go to sleep is fairly easy compared to, you know, stories that I hear from other parents where they have to hold their kid for like half an hour. Now, I hold him for maybe like 5 minutes. I put him down. He might start crying again, but it's called letting him cry it out. We're not ignoring him. It's a perfectly acceptable form of parenting. But I was letting all that get in the way of even showing this guy some kindness, right? What was here? I was a stranger and you invited me in. Clearly, I did not do that. And I think just in going through this and in going through the devotional yesterday as well, I realize that every day we need to make that conscious decision to really follow Jesus and to follow his teachings and to do what is on his heart on a daily basis. Because in reality, we're really doing it to Jesus, as he says in the word. We do it to him, even though it's not him, right? And yeah, it's not automatic at times, just because we're still being transformed, right? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's a continual process. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Clearly, I proved to myself that, you know, I still need a lot of work. The way of the world is just to tell you to do what is expedient and efficient. And especially in Hong Kong, you're like, really, who rings a doorbell? You know, That's why telemarketers call you all the time, and then you can be rude to them over the phone, so you don't have this face-to-face interaction that will actually convict you to the heart. But, you know, really, I felt not just bad because I treated this guy so badly, but just like of that this could come out of me. That, you know, I just preach on Sunday, and I poured my heart into it, and I'm like, yeah, I think, not to pat myself on the back, but I'm like, you know, God, I really do feel at peace. And like, Monday was an incredible day. Spent time with Jared. He was so happy. And I'm like, man, this is a really blessed life. And all of a sudden, this comes out. And I was just thinking, you know, maybe, no, I know I've experienced the love of Jesus, and my life has been transformed, but there's still more to go for me. And maybe there are times where I just forget, or not forget, but in some ways be very flippant about the love of Jesus and what he's done. Because if his work is so transformative, I mean, it is transformative, why doesn't my life reflect that? Why doesn't my life reflect his teaching where he says, you know, the least of these, you know, if you do it for them, then you're doing it to me. And why doesn't my life reflect that? And I think, you know, if we turned ourselves over to Christ, that we really given him our lives, and it should follow that, you know, we would put the things of his heart as our primary goal. And as I was meditating just on this whole incident, I was brought to Romans 6. I don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to... 6:15 to 23. Actually, the whole of Romans 6, but more so 15 to 23. And Paul goes in verse 15, goes, "What then shall we sin? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be." So basically, there's a question or objection that people come up to Paul and saying, you know, if you are justified by faith, then that basically means that people will have this license to sin. That whatever I do, it doesn't matter because I'm covered by grace. And I think sometimes I myself, and you know, I'm sure we can identify with that kind of attitude. Like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I sin a little bit, but I know I'm covered by grace. So let me just say a quick prayer of sorry, God, my bad. I'll do better next time. But you know, but Paul, as he writes here, he's like, no, that's not the case at all. It's not this idea where like you say a quick prayer and like I'll just continue doing what I'm doing. I'll do better next time. It's not, and he's not. I mean, it's obvious that we're not going to say now that I'm covered by grace, I can just go continuing down this dark path. But I only need to go up to a certain point of following Jesus, right? I can just go up to my comfort zone, right? I can go preach a sermon. I can go, donate to a charity. I can, you know, pray for someone in my house church. But when someone rings the doorbell at past 8 p.m. that wakes up my kid and disturbs me from my studies, now that's the limit. That's the extent that I will go to. And now I think in that case, you know, maybe it's more of a reflection for us, like, have we really been transformed by Jesus in our life? Because we've made that choice to follow him, and it doesn't, it doesn't excuse our behavior. Anyways, forget that point. My point is that, you know, we really need to consider how the love of Jesus and the work that he has done is transforming our life, and in what areas, you know, in our lives that we need to better reflect that, to not let our priorities and the things that we have to do take over, and to really let him come through, even if it inconveniences us. Right? It's not if we are able or if we have time, but just to do it. So, yeah, it's a shorter one today. But as we worship, you know, as we reflect, yeah, let me think of a recent time where we were quick to dismiss someone, or there's a situation that, you know, even if we did something right, quote unquote, even if we're like, yeah, God, I am following you, is there something more that we could have done? I think a lot of the times there can be things that we can do more, that additional step. You know, even last night, Cora and I were still praying for this man, and you know, maybe that's just the burden that God is placing on our heart. Even though we might not see him anymore, you know, I pray like, God, you know, can we have another encounter? Can you ring our doorbell again? Just not at like 9 p.m. this time. But we pray for him. And we're like, you know, we pray for him and his family. Because Hong Kong, it's tough, right? And so maybe that's our extra step that we got to go. So just let God, Holy Spirit speak to you. And is there something else that you can step up into? Let's pray. writes in Romans 6 in two places that we should present ourselves to righteousness. And you know, this idea to present is, it's not that you're forced, but that you make a choice. You make a choice to really show yourself and to come before God and to, you know, do things that are righteous. And so, Father, our prayer today, God, is that we do present ourselves for righteousness, God, in situations and in times where it may be inconvenient or inefficient or just don't want to, that we present ourselves for righteousness, God. Not because we get any material gain, but because, you know, it is for you, God, just like you presented yourself to be sacrificed, God, so that we may have this life, God. May we also follow your lead, Lord. So give us the strength, Lord. Open our eyes to see, Lord. Forgive us in times where we don't, Lord. But may you give us opportunities again to show, God, and to really to be righteous, to show where our hearts are at, God. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for this message. Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those friends, family members in our community that are sick and yet have to receive the word of Christ. Let's also lift up those who have various infirmities. For those in our community looking for jobs. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for China. Let's pray for SB Beijing, Pastor Hansu and his family. Let's also pray for the SB Shanghai church plant led by Pastor Ricky. Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, and all the churches in China. Lift up the board. PSAM, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Ken, Marcus, Sue, and Mon, the secretary. Let's pray that as they make decisions, that really is, they are led by God's wisdom and discernment. Pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults, Yahweh Eats, men's ministry with Monday Prayer, Pure Desire, Men's Fraternity, and the Conquer Series. Let's also pray for women's ministry, their ladies in fellowship together, as well as their discipleship groups. Pray for SB 2.0, new building resources. Also pray for the benefactor that has been prophetically spoken to us. Let's also pray for our vision fund and ongoing renovations on the third floor. Pray for our house churches tonight, Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, and TST. Thank you. Let's also pray for our upcoming events that we have going on at church, the parenting seminar, Cheon Healing Night, and our SP annual retreat. We thank you for the opportunity to go into your word, God. And Father, as we go about our day, you give us time and space to meditate over the sacrifice and the work that you did, Jesus, on the cross, how you paid for our sins. May we just meditate over that fact. And may you bring up scripture for us, Lord. May you just lead us. And guide us as we meditate, Lord, that we may be transformed, God, that we really understand more and more, that you reveal more and more of just what it means for us, God, and how that transforms our life, Lord, to follow you, to be righteous, God, and to do things to others, God, and with the understanding that we are really doing it to you, God. So we thank you, Father, and just be with us today as we go about our days. We pray these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.